Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from one of my own works called No Millennium? Really? This content is also available at Pasturelands, my YouTube channel, and as a book at Amazon.com. You can download the PDF of this book right here at Sermon Audio on at part one, lesson one of this series. Talking about the millennium, we're talking about the kingdom that was and is and will be. It's a little bit like of the Lord. It's an extension of the Lord himself, his rule. Now we've got to the place where the kingdom, though it came in the form of David, is on its way down already. The best of times and the worst of times come to Israel, I think, in one person. Yes, Solomon. You disappoint us even more than your father David with his Bathsheba, for you had many Bathshebas, and each of them had a foreign god that you eventually made peace with in the kingdom of your father David, in the kingdom that was to be an everlasting kingdom of righteousness. Something isn't right here. Solomon's idolatry eventually drives God to tear the kingdom in two with a special note that it is because of David and the promises made to David and the city of Jerusalem, which God has chosen, that the southern part of that kingdom, Judah, will be where God's favor rests. And from that point on, it looks like on the outside that there are two kingdoms with two sets of kings. But the kings of the north, called Israel, never measure up to God's standards. They all worship in the wrong place. Continue on in idol worship until they're taken away altogether from the land given to them centuries before. And so Judah in the south excels and lives happily ever after. No, not at all. Judah saw all those years what happened to her sister Israel, but eventually followed Judah into the same abyss. So, end of kingdom. No, still no. Just when the biblical text seems the harshest on Israel, a dim light keeps hope and the kingdom alive. Well, as Judah, the southern kingdom, is about to pass into oblivion because of its wretched evil ways, Jeremiah, who lives during this time, prophesies a seemingly fatal blow to the whole kingdom idea. It's in Jeremiah 22, verses 29 and 30. It says, "Earth, earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." So who is this man of the prophecy? Well, that would be Coniah, or Jeconiah. And who is Jeconiah? Well, he's the son of Jehoiakim. That didn't help, right? Well, Jehoiakim's one of the sons of Josiah, the last righteous king of Judah. And Josiah, as all the kings of Judah, is descended directly from King David. Therefore, Jeconiah is in that line too. Now, if you're not a little confused by now, you ought to be. I quoted earlier God's promise to David, 2 Samuel 7:16, that God, David's house and kingdom would be established forever. And yet now Jeremiah's talk of the end of the line brings it to a screeching halt. No, all we are told here is that the line from David to Jeconiah via Solomon is cut off. But there are other lines that come from David. And for this bit of information, we must go for a moment into the New Testament and look at one of those long lists of names that the apostles gave us. Let's check out Luke 3 and Matthew 1. It's commonly held that while Matthew traced the genealogy of Joseph, Luke followed that of Mary. In Matthew, verse 16, a guy named Jacob, not to be confused with the Jacob you know, is called the father of Joseph, that's Jesus' foster father we're talking about, the husband of Mary. And then, instead of following the pattern of the entire chapter that so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then that so-and-so begat another, suddenly Matthew says simply that Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom the Christ was born, implying that Joseph had no hand in this matter at all. And it's true. Jesus, humanly speaking, was of Mary. Note carefully, back in verses 6 and following in Matthew, that the lineage of David follows Solomon and all those kings mentioned in 1 and 2 Kings, including Jeconiah. That's a perfect fit. Jeconiah's line is not going to produce another ruler in Israel, is not going to produce the Christ. And Joseph did not produce the one who would rule. Now look at Luke 3. Verse 23 says that Jesus was supposed or thought to be the son of Joseph, but he wasn't really. And now look at Joseph's father in Luke. It's not Jacob anymore. It's a man called Heli. And when you trace this man, Heli, who was probably Mary's father, trace him all the way back to David, you see that Solomon and that whole line is not mentioned at all. But Nathan, again, not to be confused with that personal prophet of David, Nathan, but the son born to David in Jerusalem before Solomon, according to 2 Samuel 5:14. So the bloodline is intact. Jesus is the son, the descendant of David in the flesh, and therefore in line for all the kingdom promises, not because of great and wise King Solomon, and in spite of the wicked men who ended Judah's reign, but because of the promise of God, who cannot lie, fulfilled by that unknown Nathan. The kingdom is a real entity in the heart of God. History declares it. Soon we move to the prophets, who also saw it in their and our future. But first, a look at the Psalms, written mainly by that king, whose name is so prominent in kingdom theology, David. And let's not forget that David is called by Peter a prophet. His insights are therefore critical. Sweet psalmists of the kingdom. Well over half of the Psalms were penned by this King David, even some that do not have his name on them but are quoted in the New Testament as Davidic, or from David. I'll refer to the Psalms that clearly describe a time when Christ shall rule and reign on earth. Now, some of the Psalms could be taken also as speaking of his heavenly sovereignty at all times. I'm not going to quote those. My purpose in this whole writing is to speak of the kingdom that has been on the earth already and is presently on the earth and will be on the earth in its fullness one day in our future. Please recall, while God was indeed sovereign over all the universe and could be called the king there, David was his chosen king on earth at that time, ruling over Israel, the chosen people. There's no conflict between an earthly and a heavenly king and kingdom, both of them gods, ruling simultaneously. Psalm 2 begins the parade of quotations regarding the coming kingdom in the Bible's songbook. Psalm 2, verses 8 to 10, speaks of a time when the nations of the earth will be given to the Son of God. His rule will be firm as with a rod of iron. This will be necessary because the saints ruling with him will be ruling over the people of the Gentile nations, referenced in Matthew 25, containing citizens who were helpful to the Lord, but who have not yet received of his Spirit. Psalm 22, a messianic psalm, and speaks much of the suffering of Messiah, but at the end is made mention that eventually this despised one will rule the nations and be worshipped by them. Psalm 45 is yet another messianic song, this one from the sons of Korah. They're not speaking about David here, but of the son of David, the descendant of David, as the Spirit gives them utterance. This king to come is beautiful. He's mighty, ruling with a sword, having an eternal throne. The descendants of this king will be made princes in all the earth. His name will be remembered in all generations. And so the pattern is visible again, a real man ruling over a real people in an earthly setting from generation to generation. In Psalm 47, he is the king of all the earth, reigning over the nations. In Psalm 48, he is seen in his special city, the city of the great king and his holy mountain. In Psalm 50, from Asaph, he depicts God coming forth out of Zion, gathering his saints together and threatening to tear in pieces the forgetters of God. Psalm 67 says simply that God shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Psalm 72 is written by Solomon, and thank God for the good things he did. And he was not shy to acknowledge that one greater than Solomon is going to reign. There's no way that the following description is about anybody else except Messiah. Psalm 72, verse 2, he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure, and throughout all generations. And let me say here again about this, I think I said it before, this kingdom that's coming, that they looked for, and that the prophets and the Psalms all look toward, is a kingdom that will last for 1,000 years, and at that time there'll be a new heavens and new earth. And the Bible says in that final expression of the kingdom, there won't be any sun or moon. But this king that's coming is going to reign all during that time of the sun and moon. In other words, he's not coming to destroy the earth at first. He's coming to rule over the earth at first, then the new heavens and the new earth. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace, until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and the needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Yes, there will be death during the millennium. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Well, you know that's not happening today. Most everything in this chapter is not happening today. There's mention of gifts being given to Messiah. That's confirmed by the prophets that we will examine later. It's a major part of what's going on during that time. Geographical locations combined with effulgent praises tell us this is the Lord Jesus come to earth to reign. And then Psalm 86 tells us that all nations shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. That's a theme that's picked up by the prophets. Psalm 89 reminds us that it is to David that the promises were made originally. His seed will be established forever. His throne will be built up to all generations. As long as seed and thrones and generations are mentioned, we're speaking of something of this earth, though saturated with heaven. Psalm 96, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. And so before the new heavens and the new earth, a reign of Messiah. Psalm 99 speaks of an exalted Lord, to be sure, but also that he is great in Zion, high above all the peoples, to be worshipped at his holy hill, the very imagery of Isaiah 2. Psalm 102 has Messiah having mercy on Zion so that the nations shall fear the name of the Lord. Here, a people yet to be created will praise the Lord, it says in Psalm 102. His name will be praised in Jerusalem. A people yet to be created, that's us. He's creating a people even in the earth right now. Psalm 110 is called in the title, The Announcement of the Messiah's Reign. Messiah is told to rule in the midst of his enemies, which would be the former Gentile nations. Kings will be executed in the day of his wrath, that is, at his return, when he sets up his rule. Psalm 132 foresees Zion as the dwelling place of God forever. Priests and saints and the throne of David are all there. Yes, the kingdom is forever. It will transition into an eternal kingdom when the new heavens and the new earth come. But there is that kingdom that Jesus is in charge of all of that time. As I said, much I have left out. Zion, a code name for Jerusalem, is everywhere in the Psalms. The rule and reign of God is obvious throughout the book. What I have given is the clear message of a reign on earth. We could stop here in documenting what is coming. I don't have to say another word. I've proved my point. Nothing could be clearer. The Jews fully expected a king to come to deliver them from their enemies once and for all and reign over all the earth from Jerusalem. The apostles expected it, and they wanted it to happen, and Jesus did not tell them it would not happen, as I will show you later. He just told them, you've got to wait. You've got a job to do first. We need some citizens in this kingdom because not all the Jews are going for it. Well, let's see if the prophets are in agreement. Next time we'll get into Isaiah. And we'll move on from there through the rest of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament. This kingdom thing is everywhere. I hope you get excited about it. It's your future. Why not? God bless you. And thanks for listening. Take a look around the site while you're here. I've got hundreds of audios featuring some of the church's great preachers. Persecution stories from North Korea in English and in Korean. Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. And if you want more fellowship than that, please consider visiting my YouTube channel. It's called Pasturelands, or buying one of my books at Amazon.com. This book that we're talking about right now is there right now. Contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com and ask me about the Zoom meetings that we have. We have one for men only and one for men and women. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This audio is being released on June 27, 2022. Lord willing, we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.